Salutations, Scuba Believer. Do you have a dream of becoming an entrepreneur, but don't know where to start or even what to do? Where can I gather information quickly about what's in my zone of genius? Don't worry, Scuba Believers. I got you covered. Go to tuepodcast.net/AI prompt and check out an amazing set of AI prompts that will give you ideas, information, and articles to help you get across that start line. Once again, go to tuepodcast.net/AI prompt to get you started now. Good luck, Scuba Believer. This is an Undiscovered Legacy production. Undiscovered Entrepreneur, episode number 69. 69 Ventures, Seeds of Dreams and Fertile Minds. Harvest the success. Oh, look at that, another haiku.
I asked her, I said, Mom, you know, if the king is not the strongest, the smartest, or even the wisest, why is he the king? She said, because although everyone has those individual skills, there's always that one person that's just, that is open to leading and opening the door for others to walk through. So for instance, he may not be the smartest, the strongest, or the wisest, but if he opens the door for opportunity and then puts those people in those positions to where like their expertise is at, that's what makes him the king. Because he's the one that's willing to take on all the hardships and take on all the responsibility that everyone else doesn't really want to, but he's the one that everyone goes to, but just knows how to position people.
Welcome to the Undiscovered Entrepreneur, the podcast where brand new entrepreneurs come to life and could quite possibly be discovered. Join me, DJ Scoob, and the rest of the Scoob Believers as we help these new businesses become a reality. And now, away we go! Hello, Scoob Believers, and welcome to episode number 69 of the Undiscovered Entrepreneur. And it's me, DJ Scoob, coming at you whatever device you happen to be listening on. All right, so first of all, we're going to talk about the Scuba Believer of the Week. Now, the Scuba Believer of the Week this week is Laura Ribbons. Laura Ribbons has been actually in direct contact with me, and you're probably going to hear about her a little bit in future programs. If you want to know more about Laura, please visit her website at successwithlaura.com. All right, now, today is two of three of experienced entrepreneurs. So today we are talking to Quentin. Now, Quentin actually has a videographer business, so he's been taking pictures of like weddings and professional photos and things of that nature. I really can't wait to dive into his origin stories, and he also has just so many great words of wisdom for us. You know, whenever I say I'm going to clip that out, you know he said something pretty profound. So let's go ahead and take a listen to Quentin. Salutations, Scuba Believers, and we're here again with another amazing entrepreneur. Today, we're actually interviewing an experienced entrepreneur. Today, we're talking to Quentin. Hello, Quentin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be on the Undiscovered Entrepreneur. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoy the opportunity.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. So before we get started here, I have one kind of semi-serious question to ask you. Okay. You ready?
Go for it.
All right. Here we go. Are you a Scuba Believer?
I do believe I am.
You're a Scuba Believer. I love it. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being a Scuba Believer, Quentin. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. All right, so, sorry not to be.
All right. So what I'd like you to do here is just kind of give me an idea of your backstory. I can describe for you the beginnings of your entrepreneurial venture. Obviously what you do, but how you actually got it started doing it.
Jeez, that is a loaded question, but I'll try to simplify it. I would just say, so I'm a videographer. I own a production company by the name of Blank Slate, and also another one specifically on weddings called Poetic Films and Company. And my beginnings, I would say, I I wouldn't say like the true struggles, like everyone says, of like, I made it from nothing or whatever the case is. Like, I went through some struggles. Some I believe were self-inflicted, but you know, here we are now. So I think we can go all the way back to just before COVID, or actually during COVID, like 2019. And just before COVID started, I was working at a newspaper place by the name of Freelance Star, which is around here in Virginia. And I was on this big faith journey trying to figure out what my purpose was and trying to figure out, okay, God, what do you want for my life? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? And to keep the story simplified, I went in this long back and forth with God and other people, kind of like God using other people to kind of speak to me and such. I ended up leaving the Freelance Star, which was my first ever job out of college that was like benefits and everything of that nature, to start working at a yoga studio, making $10 at the front desk. And what, $80 every 2 weeks. And majority of the time I just got out of college. So I'm living in my parents' basement, eating nothing more than like toast and oatmeal. And anyone who hears my story or has like my friends know that were there at that time, that's like the biggest thing they always say, like toast and oatmeal. Cause that's literally all I was eating. And then right before when I started moving there, I started working the front desk and try to get an understanding of the company right before trying to take them on as a client. So I went from $10 an hour to, or $80 every 2 weeks to $1,500 a month as a retainer. And then I lost them within the first 3 months because I made too many mistakes, messing up on times of posting, messing up on scheduling content. Like I was making a bunch of mistakes. And then from there, they let me still work at the front desk until they saw, like, in the dead times of the studio, I was working on my laptop, trying to still figure out the business side of everything. And they let me go. And literally the next week, COVID hit and everything got shut down. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I know I have a ring light and the newest iPhone, which is iPhone 11 at the time. And I had a dark room in my parents' basement. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to create content on what I know of social media, marketing, and anything else of that nature. And then I created a fake podcast on my I fake one, like it never really went too far, but I created it off of the back of some advice that Gary Vee said of like creating a local podcast to generate business for other people or for local businesses. And I did that, and I eventually got my first contract from that with a guy by the name of Gordon Duncan, who was a marketing guy. And then at first we were helping, and then I realized, okay, we're much better at shooting content or making videos than the marketing side. Let's just focus on the content part. And after a while, I had a friend who, while I was filming videos and such of that nature, he had saw during COVID, he was like, yo, like, I love the pace. I love what you're doing. Like, how can I be a part of it? Now, mind you, I was shooting on my phone. He was shooting on the same camera that they used to shoot like Marvel movies. So I think he was shooting on like a Red Weapon or Red Dragon or something of that nature. Yeah. And the rest is history. I mean, I started shooting videos, and then we landed our first big contract, which like at the time was like $5,000. It's like, oh my gosh, like what am I gonna do? And then, mind you, this is during COVID, when like a good amount of people, or everyone that I know, wasn't making a ton of money unless you were like a government worker or essential worker. So we ended up doing that, and as soon as we locked the contract in, Jake contacted me saying, "Hey, I'm going to Vegas to film a movie. I can't help you with this. So remember, I have no camera but a phone." So another guy who helped us with the project before contacted us. I contacted him. He had multiple cameras. But at that moment, I was like, ownership in this is key, because if I rely on other people, I'm at their mercy. Mm-hmm. And if they end up leaving, I don't have anything to do what I'm supposed to be doing. So I bought my first camera, which is a small little Canon SL2 and a nifty 50 lens that only stuck. It was a prime lens, so it was only one focal length. And from there, I've built the entire company of Blank Slate and Poetic Films and Company to date.
Nice. Great story. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. That's actually the shortest I've ever condensed that story down, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to get together and listen to the long story some other time.
Gotcha.
That'd be great. I'd love to hear it. But, you know, you make a couple great points in that story. It's really rough sometimes to have to depend on other people for what you need to do what you do. So right. It's better to depend on yourself. One of my real pet peeves in life is having to wait for somebody else to do their job before I could do my job, right?
Yeah.
So instead of having to wait for them, a lot of times, well, I work at a restaurant, so a lot of times I'm doing other people's jobs before, so I can actually do mine. But right. You have the same kind of parallel here too, where if you depend on somebody too much and so much that you can't get anything done, if something happens to them, you have to depend on yourself now.
Yeah.
So why not just depend on yourself from the very beginning?
I mean, for a lot of people, I think not everyone's used to the pressure of that.
Yeah.
Because most people, like, and so me and my friend were actually talking about this a little while ago, and it was the fact that when you start doing things for yourself, you quickly realize that all the systems and processes that a normal job brings to your life, you now realize how strenuous it is when you have to manage all that on your own, when you have to rely on yourself on your own for your income, for your benefits and everything that we're so accustomed to. So I can understand in certain people's cases on why this is not for everybody. And I'm not the entrepreneur like, oh, if you just believe, no. Like this is real. This is hard work. This is a lot of hours, a lot of nights. And sometimes majority of the time, it's more than a job. Because everyone thinks like, oh, I'm going to work for myself and set my own hours. I hope you're prepared for that to be more than what you work normally, because that's the only way it's going to like thrive or survive. So when it's in your hands, it's 10 times more work and pressure, because now everything down to the food that is on your plate is now reliant on your actions.
Exactly. And I definitely agree with that, mainly because on top, I don't just do this. This is kind of my pastime more than anything else, but I have two full-time jobs on top of my podcasting, on top of entrepreneur coaching, on top of editing for another podcast. So I'm not just doing this. I'm doing a lot of other things to be able to support what I'm doing here.
Of course.
So if we're going to be a one-man show, we have to make sure we understand that it's going to take more than just believing in what we're doing to accomplish what we're going to accomplish, but we have to support what we're believing to accomplish what we're going to accomplish.
Yeah. And I will say I am not the greatest example of this, because although this, I preach like practicality, I at the time was not practical. So I left a full job. Mind you, I was 9 months away from getting married. That's the one part I didn't tell you. I was nine months away from getting married when I left the corporate job to go take this other job on. And so most people would be like, are you crazy? Why would you? And every person that I talked to I was thinking it was going to be the same thing. But this is where like the guidance of God came in, because every time I talked to someone, they were like, if you think God, this is what telling you what to do, like do it. And I was like, what? Because these are the most practical people I know in my life. Both my parents are military. My significant other at the time, her family was very practical as well. So for me to hear that, I didn't really know how to take it, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to. But for advice that I would give on a practical scale, I definitely agree with what you're saying. Just know if someone was to ever do it, at least the way that I did it, which is the full jump, full send, just let's just do it and forget everything. Be prepared, because there are hardships that follow that and heavy ones as well.
But if you mentally prepare yourself ahead of time that there's going to be hardships coming, they'll land on you a lot easier than if you like go willy nilly all over the place and just like, oh, yeah. Hardship. Ah, yeah. It's just, it's the same thing with failure too. If you expect failure is going to come and that's part of what you do, it doesn't hit you as hard as you would if you're just to fail and just throw your hands up in the air and just say, I give up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's one heavy point on why there's the difference between people who actually succeed in it and that do not, because 9 out of 10, it mostly isn't just the skill set ever, but a majority of the time it's the mindset on the beginning of like, there's a difference in the beginning between someone being like, oh, like I'm going to do this full out or whatever, and then gets blindsided by the hardships and realizing like the difference, which is, oh, okay, I want to do this. This is the end goal. Now I know it's going to suck. I know it's going to be late nights. I know it's going to be hardships. Sometimes I may just be eating the same thing every single day. But again, I know the end goal. Those mindsets are completely different, but it's easy to see where one will win over the other, typically.
Absolutely, 100%. And you know what? Another thing I want to touch on here real quick too is you don't need special, all kinds of expensive equipment just to get started, just to get that one foot in the door to actually start exploring if you even like what you're going to do or not.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that separates, this is my industry, particularly like videography and such. I think that's the one thing that really separates people just before this race even starts. Because there are a lot of people that start off and say, okay, if I just get the best gear, if I just get the best equipment, then I know like people are going to pay for my services. Not always the case. And even if you do, then they may end up being upset at the end result because the product doesn't match what your gear presents. In comparison to someone who just brings in, say, a little $600 camera and a decent lens, but knows the basics of what to actually do to make things look good, they'll go way farther than the person that has $30,000 worth of camera gear in comparison to the person that has a kit lens, but knows how to use it well.
Excellent. I'm definitely going to clip that out, especially for my new entrepreneurs. I got to understand they don't have to have all this fancy schmancy stuff to just get started.
Not at all. Not at all.
All right. And one other thing too, I noticed in your story that you told us you hit rock bottom pretty hard at one point. Yeah. But you know, when you hit rock bottom, that rock bottom actually lays the foundation for something new and exciting to move into.
Yeah, it does. Now, I do want to clarify, because I never want to make it seem like I'm from like the gutter or something like that.
No.
Like I stayed with my parents when I got out of college. And I'm not going to lie and say like my parents had like the worst basement ever. Like it was a nice basement. Like I'm not ever going to say like, oh, my story, I'm trying to fabricate my story. So my rock bottom to some people may just be like, oh, like I'm not doing too bad. But my rock bottom was more so like the very low points of me building the business. So I want to make sure that that is clear. But the building blocks of the hardships that I went through as far as the rock bottom are absolutely the foundations that build to the success I have now. And I always, I'm big on like animated movies, so like kids movies, but there's a quote that I heard a while ago and it said, the best part about being at rock bottom is the only place you can go is up.
Oh yeah, I've heard that several times too. And that's really good. That's really some nice mindset to keep in mind, even though we're really having a rough time. There's only one direction from now.
Yeah.
And that's going upwards.
And it's going to be a fight, but if you can withstand it, because most people bat out when it gets really, really hard. But if you can, in the words of someone that I really admire, if you can take those licks and continue to just keep going forward, knowing like those beginner licks of like the hardships of being in the industry, you'll do just fine.
Exactly. And we take those as learning opportunities too. When we have those rough times, when we have those rock bottoms, okay, what brought me here and how do I get myself out of it? And then when we get out of it, what have we taken from those experiences that we can implement later on in our lives?
And honest, 100%. And I always admire someone who has struggled in the beginning processes because they can always look back and see like, oh, like this is where I came from. Versus, well, I mean, we see social media all the time of like people who have like are like overnight successes. Now, granted, is that ever the case? No. But for the people that who just randomly like get fame, get success, get money out of nowhere, and like nothing was really laid or foundation, like, and it doesn't last long, it's mostly because they didn't have what I call the character development in order to maintain what they were now granted.
Well, the thing we got to keep in mind, too, is when we're looking at anybody, I don't care who it is. It could be anybody on social media, anybody we're looking on TV. What we're actually seeing is the end product after the fact that they've been through the hardships, after we've been through the struggles. So all we're really seeing is the tip of the iceberg, the very end product. What we don't see is the struggles, the hardships, the time, the eating toast and oatmeal times. That we don't see because you probably typically don't want to show that. You want to show success when it comes to being out in the public like that. So people see you in a better eye. What we don't get to see is those hard times.
Yeah. And the people that do, and you can check on my Instagram as well. Like I posted a picture of me in my parents' basement with my dog who passed away a little bit ago, who when I was in my parents' basement in those actual times, like I just lost the job. COVID just hit, and even more, I had this whiteboard that I was holding and I wrote on it and I say, all you need is you. And that is one of the pictures that I took in the very, very beginning processes. And that's like on my Instagram, everyone saw it. So like, you can always see like my story of like where it really came from. I would be on my stories like every day talking about, oh, what meeting I'm going to and where I'm headed. And eventually I got a rhythm of it. So like people can see like my journey to like where I've even been now and probably even still to where I'm going to go. So those people I always respect 10 times more that actually showcase the journey. And the people I really don't respect as much are the social media gurus that tell people how easy it is or that they're done for you processes, because no real business is ever actually done for you.
And if it is done for you, basically all you're really doing is copying somebody else and it's not authentic. And people could really sniff that out really in the very end too, if it's not really authentic, if it's not you. I mean, you are the thing that makes people follow you. Your vibe is your tribe, right? So, I mean, if you don't have that vibe and it's not an authentic vibe, you're not going to attract the people that you want to have in your world. You're just going to get more people that are as fake as you are, really, if you really think about it.
Yeah. And it's not something that's going to last long.
No, not at all. Not at all. here's a question I like to ask when I get to a point here is, we all have failures, but do you have one failure that you're proud of? Something that happened to you, which was kind of bad, but I'm glad I went through that because now I learned this.
One major failure.
I made you think there, didn't I?
Yeah, you really got me because I can say I've had a lot. You know what? I will actually say. So I'd probably say this last. So I'd say 2 years ago. So I just moved out. I actually was going through a divorce at the time as well. And I just up and just moved cities. So it's not too far. I went from like Stafford, Virginia to Richmond, Virginia. So it's only like an hour and some change in difference. But this was monumental because I learned so much in that year. And the reason why is my biggest failure was reaching my goal and then losing it all. Because you didn't know like what you need to do to maintain it. So for instance, I made in videography, which I was super surprised at that I did, because every year I doubled my revenue. So that year I ended up making like $129,000, which I was super like, oh my gosh, like I finally hit six figures. The thing that everyone talks about, I finally hit it. And within that same year, at the end of that year, I had to move back in with my parents because I had squandered every bit of it, every bit of it. And I had like maxed out credit cards and all, like it was such a bad like way to go about it. But what I learned is the importance of managing, understanding the importance of like a plan with money, like moving forward, like with business. I understood the aspect of a CPA because that year also, like the beginning of that year, I went to TurboTax, which is my dad's advice to go to. And I only made $60,000. I still had to pay like $5,000 in taxes. And then I ended up the next year when I finally hired like a CPA and such, like they really got me together. So I was like, okay, I understand the importance of having certain people around you that'll help you and actually maintain you. So a CPA was super important for me because I can make a bunch of money, but if you don't know how to maintain it or have those things that'll help you like keep it or like make more, it doesn't matter how much money you make because you can squander every bit of it in a very short amount of time. I also learned that six figures is actually at least the lower end is not as much as everyone thinks that it is. And then managing money, managing expenses, managing the accounts, accounting, everything of that nature. I think that biggest failure for me having to move back in with my parents after doing so well in my head was humbling, but the experience I needed because it taught me everything of these are the real things of an actual business and this is how bad it can be and it could probably be worse. But the understanding how to maintain, to manage, and even excel past. So those would probably be my biggest failure. That was my most proudest lesson thus far, I'd probably say.
That's a good one too. That's a good one. Really, everybody really needs to understand how that actually works. Getting to that one figure in your head that makes you think you made it is great, but what you do after that is just as important as actually getting there in the first place, right?
Yeah.
But I could tell you that managing money is definitely not in my zone of genius. I definitely have to have somebody else do that when I do have money. When I get to that point. But yeah, if it's not within, I mean, if you're not like have the numbers brain, like I don't, it's probably best to hand it off to somebody else who does, who knows how to get around those kind of things.
Yeah. And so I've learned a couple things because I asked my mother this question actually, and I will always give my mother credit for this one. I asked her, I said, Mom, you know, if the king is not the strongest, the smartest, or even the wisest, why is he the king? And she told me, she said, because although everyone has those individual skills, there's always that one person that is open to leading and opening the door for others to walk through. So for instance, he may not be the smartest, the strongest, or the wisest, but if he opens the door for opportunity and then puts those people in those positions to where like their expertise is at, that's what makes him the king, because he's the one that's willing to take on all the hardships and all the take on all the responsibility that everyone else doesn't really want to, but he's the one that everyone goes to, but just knows how to position people. So for instance, this year, my biggest thing is I'm starting to understand not everybody wants to run a business. And that was a big surprise to me because I'm like, are you serious? Why would you not? I have a lot of friends and even people in my company now that they're like,
I was like, you are smarter than me. Why don't you just go start your own company? They're like, Quentin, I don't want to deal with the business. I don't want to deal with the taxes, all the responsibility it comes with. If you were just able to bring me opportunity, I will continuously work for you without question. And that put a switch in my head. And I was like, so you really don't need to be the strongest, the smartest or anything, because me growing up, I wasn't the strongest. I wasn't the fastest. Even when I played football, I wasn't. Exactly. Yeah. But it just takes that willingness to be that one individual to walk through a door so others can walk behind you. And then sometimes they'll end up following you just because you granted the opportunity.
Well, that's basically the definition of a leader, right?
Yeah. That is exactly it.
That's amazing. That's a great, I'm definitely going to clip that out and we'll make sure your mom gets the credit for that one. So yes,
yeah, I'm sure she'll love that.
Yes. But yeah, it's amazing to think about how when we surround ourselves with people and things like that, we have a purpose for it. There's a reason we're surrounding ourselves with people that are smarter than us, that may be stronger than us, but we're mm-hmm. the ones that help them get where they want to go. And that's really what makes us a leader.
Yeah. And I've always said this, even with what I'm doing, like it's never always been about the money. It was more so of like, if I can bring creative opportunity to others, then I'll be happy. So for instance, Blank Slate right now, we are now offering creative opportunity in different states, because now instead of me flying out one team, because I now am getting into the event space. So instead of me flying out an entire team that is super close to me, but I now have to deal with travel expenses and I have to deal with flying and all that other stuff, I will go to cities, and the moment we lock down a contract, I will go to this networking thing that I'm in for videographers. And I will say, okay, I'm in this city, and I'll develop a team in that specific city. And now my company technically goes up in value because I'm bringing creative opportunity to other markets outside of the one that I'm originally in.
Nice. That's awesome. It's nice to be able to surround yourself with people like that. I know where to go to find them so we can accomplish things that normally without them, we wouldn't be able to accomplish them.
Yeah. Like whoever you put yourself around, like that circle is extremely important, because that can either uplift you or it can definitely like hinder you. And I mean, terribly. And I've seen it firsthand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do they say? The five people that are around you most are the people that reflect on you the most. So you got to be careful about who those five people are.
Yep, you are the sum of the five most people you hang around.
See, I was close. I was close.
All good.
Okay. That's amazing. Okay. What I'd like to know is, in your vast circle that you've been in, do you have mm-hmm. anybody that you like that you like as a mentor, or somebody that you idolize as you go along?
Are we referring to like in my industry specifically, or just in general?
Just for you as Quentin, who do you idolize, you think?
I don't idolize anyone. I don't see myself idolizing anyone. There are just people's advice that I respect, and that are people that are like ahead of me. So some people that I respect, I'll put it in that sense, I would definitely say have to be my father, because my father's where my initial like work ethic came from when I was playing football. Then is more of a life coach, particularly is Russell Roby, who was my coach when I trained for football. That's where like the hunger really came from, more so in the football sense, but now just in life in general. And probably like the latest, my I guess business coach or mentor would have to be J.R. Spears. So these are personal individuals that not everyone's really going to know about, but these are more personal to me. If there's anyone out there that I particularly look up to, and depending on the person that, because this may or may not get heat for, is actually someone, Justin Waller, that I like him. So he runs around with, whether however people like them or not, the Tates. And I don't know how everyone feels about them, but him particularly I liked because he was a small town guy, built himself up, and literally has gone on to do a lot. And I resonate that a lot, because being where I'm from, Stafford, which is like a small military town, mm-hmm. sometimes I always question, like, can I really make it from where I'm at, and like being from a small town and everything of that nature. And to see someone who is similarly also been from a small town and has built themselves up for in a very successful way, it was just like, oh, like it's possible. Okay, great. That's all I need to know. And then from there, just like, okay, now how can I replicate that success in my own industry? So those would probably be the individuals that I'd say.
And you're actually doing it too, starting from a humble beginnings and working your way up just like they are.
Yeah, and even more so. So is now I'm actually leaving. This is my last week in Stafford. Next Monday, I will be moving to Dallas, Texas.
Are you getting around there, aren't you, Quentin?
Yeah, that's right around the corner.
Nice. I like the fact that the people that you chose was like 90% family. People
Pretty
that
much, yeah.
raised you, people that pushed you forward, that you learn that hunger, that you learn that work ethic. And of course, your mom that
Yeah.
taught you about the king. We'll make sure we get that in there. All that. It's amazing to have family that's able to push you forward, that's able to give you that little oomph that you need to succeed.
Yeah, and so I'll say this, whoever has a dream or an ambition to go for something and your family is supportive of you, you are truly blessed, 'cause trust me, that is not the experience for a great majority of people. There are a lot of families out there who actually will try to shoot it down because it's something outside of the framework of what the family is used to seeing happen within the family. I would typically say if you have a family who does not truly believe in what you're doing, you may just have to prove it to them before they see it. Because that's exactly what I did. So when I first started, when I left the company and everything of that nature, when I first told my parents, at first they're like, okay, I don't know where this is going, but we'll see. The very next day, my dad chewed me out because he was like, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you left? You're getting married in 9 months. Like, do you know? And those hardships are experiences of a lot of people who are trying to get into business, but your family may not represent or support you, or even your family, your friends will support you. But sometimes it takes you to see it because it was only given to you. That vision was only given to you. And if you can stick with it through, again, those hardships or the negativity that the people who are supposed to support you, if you can fight through that, eventually when you're able to give some result or show like it's possible, then they have no choice but to buy in. Like my family, they at first thought I was crazy for what I did. And they didn't outright say it outside of my father, but it wasn't until I think that same year later, I was able to take my parents out to dinner and buy them whatever they wanted. And they took every bit of that because I was like, this is my feedback to show you like what I did, this is real. Like I'm not just flying around. This is legit. And when they saw that, I brought it back up to my mom. I actually just interviewed them because they're actually getting ready to move to South Africa. So I said, you know, now seeing everything that I've done, what is your take on it? And she was like, I understand where I was coming from then, but I'm just so proud to see that you stuck through and did exactly the way you wanted to do, regardless of what anyone else said. And that feeling for me was like, that was better than making all the money that I did, because it showed me that believing in myself and betting on myself, regardless of whatever was said and the words that were stated against me, I still did it. And that I don't think there's anything else better than that.
There really isn't. I mean, you can't put a price on that. There's no way. I mean, being able to come across and say, hey, I accomplished this. I did it. Even though you told me not to, or you were against what I did, I still did it anyway. And look where it put me. Look where I am now as compared to where I was when we first started talking about this. It's such a great goal to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, and it's so rewarding on the opposite side. It's a struggle in it, but on the opposite side, it's extremely rewarding.
You know what's funny is my next question was going to be, what in your vast number of accomplishments are you most proud of? And I think you answered that. You took your folks out to dinner. That's
Yeah.
it.
And I mean, to most people who, if ever makes money like that, and they'll be like, oh, like, okay, you took your parents out to dinner. Like, why is that a big deal? Because for me, I always struggled to do things like betting on myself when I was younger. Like, even when I played football in college, like, I still had a lot of doubts about myself, regardless of like how my stats looked or whatever. So to me, to take a leap of faith in this nature with so much hanging in the balance on like the back end of it, and seeing the successes and the fruits of it, and then being able to go to the people who I didn't quite see it at first, but still like believed in, was like, oh, we'll just see what happens, to reward them back for just giving me a space to do what I was doing while COVID was happening. It was the sweetest reward in me. It had to be, because there's no feeling greater than being able to gift your parents back something, even something as small as dinner, where they don't have to pay for it. Mind you, they've paid and take care of me my entire life. So me being able to do this meant a lot to me personally.
because my parents always joked when I was younger on, oh, because I used to eat a lot, like a lot as a kid, a ton. So whenever we went out, I'd always try to get the lobster legs and everything of that nature, or the crab legs. And so they were like, oh, just wait, like one day you're going to be able to pay for us. And me being able to do it, but with everything on my tab, on my record, on my accord, it just, there was no better feeling for me.
Fantastic. That is definitely a made up moment. I'm going to keep that in mind maybe for me too. Someday I'm going to take my parents out to dinner. Okay. All right. At this point, I'd like to know, what kind of advice can you give to an entrepreneur that's just getting started? I mean, they're looking to make that jump into entrepreneurship. What one or two pieces of advice would you give them?
It's not as easy as you think it's going to be, would be number one, because there's a lot of social media people that will let you know how easy it is, when in reality, they're probably hiding a bunch of things from you that they just don't want to show because they know it's not sexy. Really study your industry. Really try to get an understanding of what it is, and then think, how can I do this as minimally as possible, like cost-wise, of course. Like, for instance, in my industry, videography, everyone knows, everyone thinks you need a bunch of gear. When in reality, like, if I can just get the minimal setup or just the minimal cost of what it takes in order for me to just operate well, or at least just at all, then start building from there. Because, for instance, I started with one camera, a little mic on the top of the camera, and a stabilizer, and that's all. A lot of people probably else will tell you that you need a camera, all these additional lights, all these additional mics, lav mic setups, whatever the case is. No, just whatever you need to operate and do whatever it is from start to finish, from the time of bringing a client in to sending them off with their end product. If you can, whatever minimal setup you need for that, just start with that. You don't need to start up with the most expensive anything or whatever. Just start with the bare basics and work from there. Because my last bit of advice is just get out there and gain experience. There are so many people that will talk about the how much you can make, how much you can really accomplish. But there are a lot of people, and if you really look at it, their accounts on social media are only about talking about doing it, but not actually showing that they're doing it. So for me as a videographer, my advice is always get out there and just make it happen, or get the experience. Like, for instance, when I got started, I just went out and started shooting videos for random companies locally. So whatever industry that is for you, go out and get the experience, make those calls, just ask people randomly, hey, can I shoot a free video for you? Hey, can I do this service for you? Because the next thing you're going to need is the experience and the testimonial of the person to then get your next person. So those are probably my most valuable pieces of advice for someone getting started.
Perfect. And that goes right into my tagline too. I can, I am, I will, and I'm doing it today. Just do something to get started. It doesn't have to be fantastic, but it's something to get your feet wet, to see if you actually like what you're doing. If you like what you're doing, then just kind of keep going with it. And there's nothing wrong with doing things for free because you love doing it. If you love doing it enough to where you can do it for free, then you know you're in the right place.
Yeah. And I think the last bit that I would say for this is just talking is overrated and people taking action is underrated, because everyone talks about what they need to do or all the information, and you can learn all the information you want to, but if you're not taking any action on it, you will be in the same place and not move anywhere.
Exactly. We could read all the books we want and we could talk all the talk we want, but until we actually start putting something out there where people can take a look at it, help you along with it, or anything for that matter, then you're just stagnant. You're not doing anything. I mean, it's nice to know about it, but that actually goes into a little saying that I heard, kind of a little bit of a riddle. Five frogs are on a log. Four of them decide to jump off. How many frogs are still on the log? Five. They're all still there because they only decided to jump off the log. They didn't actually take the action of jumping off the log. There you go. Oh,
okay. I like that.
So awesome. All right, Quentin, this is your time to shine. This is the time where I would like you to advertise who you are, what you do, and get to know about your business. Okay. Ready, set, go.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Quentin Gray. I am the owner of Blank Slate and Poetic Films and Company. Blank Slate specifically just highlights events, weddings, speakers, hosts, everything of that nature, as far as the information, people who are speaking at events, because we give a full out service of capturing all the content from full out edit speeches to testimonials, strategic testimonials, recap videos over your entire event. And then, of course, anything else that you really need to help build the brand and also allow you to give back to the people who invested into your event as well. Really just trying to pack on all that value to every host and speaker. And then Poetic Films and Company is just high-end wedding videography. As we are moving down to Dallas, Texas, we are actually going to be opening up more, I would say, an event that'll help kind of expand our reach more. I can say that in a sense, because it's a lot behind the scenes, but creating events and cut in like private events. So like fashion shows, so like top end private wedding dress fashion shows and other experiences that allow people to see like the wedding industry and what they're like in different places, specifically obviously going to be in Dallas, but just high-end wedding videography services to really just showcase any wedding at the highest place possible. And also just making sure that we give your entire day back to you in a cinematic film that you can look back on for the rest of your life.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Quinn, it's been an absolute blast. This has to be one of the best interviews I've had in quite some time. Really, thank you very much for being on the Undiscovered Entrepreneur today.
Thank you so very much for having me.
All right. All right, Scuba Believers, make sure you stay tuned for the wrap-up. All right, everybody, have a great day. Bye-bye. All right, Scuba Believers, that was Quentin. Man, that was amazing. That guy just had so much great, great knowledge, not just in videographer and all that kind of thing, but in general entrepreneurship, knowing what you need to do to keep things going. Always remember to kind of keep track of your spending. We did run into that. And if you can't get somebody that does, that can help you when it comes to that kind of thing too. So great information about family. Man, I really hope you really got something from this, because I certainly did. Some great, great information. So what we're going to do is actually go ahead and follow up with Quentin in the next 6 months. Just finished talking to him off the camera here. And we're going to see where he is. We all know he's going to be in Dallas, Texas at that point. We're going to see where his company is at. Let's look into that in 6 months. All right.
Okay, so let's get into a little bit more about what I've been up to lately. If you couldn't tell already, I have been working on live speaking. It's been one of my goals, is to be able to talk to groups of people and things of that nature. So I did my Entrepreneur Olympics talk. I did finish that, and I will be putting in the show notes the first and second parts of that. So if you'd like to take a look at that and see what that's about, I have that available. Also, it's really strange, but the place I moved into actually, believe it or not, has a stage that they put on live shows on. I'm going to be talking to the manager here at the place and seeing what it takes to actually start talking on that stage. Who knows? It could turn on to something big. Maybe it's just practice. Who knows? But you know what? I'm going to give it a try anyway. Also, I have this place, I think I talked about it once before, called Elevate Branson, and they actually have places for talks there too. And they have a huge entrepreneurial program that I want to get involved in. So that's definitely going to be something I'm going to give a try to. Also, I would like to offer my Scuba Believers. I'm looking for two Scuba Believers that want free coaching from me, DJ Scoob. If you want to take a part of that and see if you could be one of the two people that actually get a free coaching from me, email me at doingittodaycoaching@gmail.com to be part of that. See if you can get some free coaching from me, and I'm pretty sure I can help you in your entrepreneur adventure. I've helped so many people so far. You've heard them. Be a part of it. I really want to be able to help you out. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is a huge announcement that I have right now. I am working on another podcast. It's another podcast. It's going to be a short form podcast. My goal, I don't know if it's going to work out or not, because it's still kind of under construction, but my goal is for it to be a daily podcast. Now, am I going to pull it off daily? I don't know, but we'll see what happens. So the premise of this podcast that I'm working on is, well, okay, let me give you the whole story here. So I have a friend of mine at the hospital I work at, and he and I talk about AI every single day that we're there. So he introduced me to a AI product or thing called Pi. Now Pi, it's P-I, and it's basically a AI with a human voice that you could just have normal conversations with, and you have the vast knowledge of the internet to talk about. It's really hard for me to completely explain, but here's the idea. I want to sit down and have conversations with Pi about entrepreneurship that you can listen in on and learn from. So I'll be asking questions about startups, best practices, things of that nature. And obviously, with the vast knowledge of the internet, get some probably pretty good information. So I want some feedback from you to know if you think this is a good idea. Is this something you would listen to? Email me at uepodcast2021@gmail.com. That's my email address. Or reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Twitter. That's DJScoob2021. That's S-K-O-O-B. Reach out to me there. I want to hear what your thoughts is on this, because I really want this to be good. If this is something you think you'd listen to, contact me anyway and let me know, hey, I don't think I'd listen to this. It would definitely save me some time and energy if I knew that ahead of time. So I want to hear from you and kind of get an idea of what you think. All right, Scuba Believers, thank you for another fantastic episode. Make sure you stay tuned for number 3 of 3, our final part of the 3-part episodes of Experienced Entrepreneurs. All right, everybody, thank you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
DJ Scoob here, and I just want to personally say thank you for listening to my program. I really hope you learned something. Tune in 2 weeks to listen to another brand new entrepreneur. And remember, I can, I am, I will, and I'm doing it today.
As a worker of 2 full-time jobs and a podcast and a coach, every minute counts in my day-to-day. It's hard to be consistent in any of my social medias, and at this point, I just can't hire a social media manager. It's just too gosh darn expensive. Pinnacle AI to the rescue! I've been using Pinnacle AI for a couple of weeks now and seen big improvements in my reach and consistency. Do you want to have time and increase your productivity too? Go to tuepodcast.net/AI for more information. Save yourself time and grow your brand. Try it now and see what it can do for you.